Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Paranormal Podcast. I am Dan Pacella, co-founder, lead investigator, Orange County, New York, Paranormal. And welcome. Welcome back, everyone. We are back in the swing of things now in 2024, and been very busy doing a lot of stuff lately. So, you know, make sure, in addition to subscribe, rate, and reviewing the podcast, if you haven't already, make sure to check us out also on Facebook and YouTube for a video version of this podcast. And if you are on YouTube or Facebook, please sure to like and follow and subscribe. And on YouTube, ring that bell so that you see all the videos that we have coming out, because we do not only these podcasts in video form, but all of our investigation videos are on our sites on YouTube and on Facebook. So thank you to anyone who is new to the show, and welcome back those of you who have been with us. And I'm very much looking forward to diving into today's topic, because this is a topic I've been wanting to do for a long time, because I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to all this stuff. Well, when it comes to a lot more than just this stuff, but particularly what we're going to talk about today. And looking forward to having yet another interesting paranormal discussion with all of you. So what am I a nerd about? Well, among other things, I am very much a nerd when it comes to the equipment involved in investigating the paranormal. I love it. I love researching it. I love finding new stuff. I love looking at the new stuff. I love watching videos of how to use the paranormal equipment that is out there. And trust me, we've used a lot of it. We have bought a lot of equipment over the years, and as you'll see, way more than we should have. And I wanted to have a discussion with you folks today about our experiences in terms of what's good and what's bad. You know, what gets the best results, what gets no results, and frankly, what has been a waste of money on our part in terms of our experience with a piece of equipment. There could be others who've had positive experiences, but we've made all the mistakes. And if any of you out there are, you know, investigators or planning on taking this up and becoming a paranormal investigator, and you're looking to do it in more of a scientific slash technical approach as we do, now, today, I'm going to give you some tips on not only the best kind of equipment to buy, but also where you can get it and where you can get it for the best value. When we arrive to investigate a place, people are shocked at how many cases of equipment that we bring in. Because, as I said, I have an obsession with it. But we don't use all of it all the time. And some of it we hardly ever use at all. But we have attempted to use at least everything we've bought at least once or twice, with mixed results. But for a group like ourselves, which is definitely very much focused on capturing evidence, publishing evidence, and showing as much of a location as we possibly can, the most important thing we have in those cases, right off the bat, to set up and strategically place are the video cameras. If you go on to eBay or Amazon or any of the ghost hunting websites and type in ghost hunting camera, you're going to get a lot of results. And those results will vary in price from, you know, $100 all the way up into the thousands of dollars for that kind of technology. And it really, what it comes down to is it depends, first of all, what kind of cameras you're looking to get. Because investigating the paranormal, it'd be great if we could just use our phones to do that. Unfortunately, the vast amount of paranormal investigation occurs at night. We did a previous podcast episode on why that is, so make sure to check that out if you haven't heard it yet. But everything just works better at night, is basically a summary. So we have to use cameras that are either built to purpose or modified to be either full spectrum or night vision. Now, we use both. Our stationary cameras are full spectrum, and we use those just to put them in places that we're not going to be all the time. I like to cover as much of a location as possible. And sometimes when you investigate, especially if it's the first time, most of the activity may not happen around you. because you are a stranger. I mean, dealing with the dead isn't that much different than dealing with the living. The more a person or a spirit gets to know you, the closer to you they'll get. So these stationary cameras become really good tools to capture comments and thoughts and things that the spirits may be doing or saying further away from us, and also good for capturing residual energy. And they're full spectrum because they see in both the infrared and the ultraviolet spectrum. So just above and just below the visual spectrum that our eyes can see, and where a lot of this spiritual energy seems to reside. We can't see it, so the cameras have to see it. The full spectrum, you'll know you're looking at full spectrum if the image you see on the screen is like a pinkish or a purplish or a reddish hue, because that's sort of the combination of that night vision and ultraviolet, you know, seeing in all those spectrums. That's just how the image looks. The version that most of us are most familiar with is night vision. If you watch a lot of the TV shows, most of the shows are shot in night vision. Black and white is how it looks when it comes out on the screen, but that is only in the infrared spectrum. So the ultraviolet spectrum isn't shown there. It gets the job done. We get a lot of light anomalies that way, and we as a group use night vision as our handheld cameras. And there are benefits to using them. Obviously, I like the way we do it because I'm the one who decides how we do it as the head tech. But the thing is, the stationary cameras, those full spectrum cameras, they're more expensive generally than some of the night vision cameras can be. These night vision cameras, they can actually vary not only in price, but in style. Body cams are in night vision. The cameras you wear known for law enforcement officers wearing on their chest. There are groups that use those in paranormal investigation. Our friends over at Clifton Paranormal come to mind. They utilize those. Trail cameras are in night vision. And there are even now cell phones that are sold that have a night vision camera on them. They're not the kind of thing you get at like Verizon or Sprint or whatever. At least I've never seen one sold in that environment. But if you go on Amazon, you can get repurposed cell phones with night vision cameras. You can also get a camcorder. Almost every camcorder, it seems, has a night vision setting on it. And honestly, if you just type it in that way, you'll see it. And honestly, those camcorders are how we've done this the last 5 years. They're not expensive, and the quality's pretty good. The problem is the not expensive ones, they don't last. I've had to replace them several times. And in fact, I just actually converted all of our handhelds to the cell phone style of camera for the investigations that we just started in December. So if you do watch our investigation videos, you will see a difference. Those are more 4K and the other ones are more 1080p. So they won't be as blurry. But the thing is, night vision cameras are less expensive than the full spectrum. So if you are just starting out, or if you are working on a budget, and let's face it, who isn't? Night vision cameras are not expensive. They are very cost efficient and they're extremely useful. And that's kind of how you have to look at it, right? It's like everything in life. How much does it cost versus how useful is it going to be? And in that scenario, IR definitely, definitely wins. Now, this conversation, we use both kinds because as a group, we publish everything that we capture in non-residential investigations. Obviously, those are private. So we are shooting an investigation in an effort because we're going to show this to the owners of the business or museum or whatever it is. And then we're going to publish it out in public. If you are not so much planning on publishing everything, then you don't need to concern yourself with the video component as much, other than just to get good evidence. And cameras are expensive, but they can be expensive. But at the end of the day, nothing lets you case a place better than having your video set up. Although, word of warning, if you are starting out, remember, every camera you place is another set of video you have to watch. So if you have six cameras out for a six-hour investigation, that is 24 hours of footage that you are going to have to sit and study and watch and analyze. And I've said it before, I believe that's why a lot of groups don't publish, because everybody wants to do this until they're sitting, staring at a video for 6 hours of a doorway where nothing happens. I mean, it'd be hard to love this more than I do, and I even find that a little tedious sometimes. So, but as far as video cameras go, that's our thoughts on what we use, how we use it, and our recommendations based on what kind of group you are or are looking to be. Moving on from the moving pictures to the still ones. Photography is a big part of paranormal investigation. We take a lot of pictures. I've taken 800 pictures in an investigation. And those, again, you run into that. Do you want full spectrum? Do you want night vision? Or do you want another kind? I tend to go with full spectrum on these photos because they're still photos and it's just easier to see. Take it in a burst of three because paranormal moves. So we always tell everyone when we do events, we say, look, if you're taking pictures, that's fine, but just one, two, three, make sure you're getting those. A lot of businesses out there, including the ghost hunting websites or just people online, actually sell modded cameras that are modified to work in full spectrum or in night vision. They've added the filter themselves. So it used to be a regular camera, but then they came in, did their thing, and now it takes those kind of photos. You don't have to spend a fortune, we've discovered on this. We bought a really nice modded digital still camera at one point over the last couple of years. I mean, I think we paid $300 or $400 for it. And honestly, the one we bought that was like $150 online, it takes just as good of pictures, and it's a little thing. It's not an arduous thing to carry around with you. Also, full spectrum GoPro cameras, they tend to also be able to be used as photo cameras, and many of them come programmed with that burst setting. So a theme you're going to see as we continue talking about paranormal equipment is there are multiple uses for a lot of this equipment, and a great way to do this and not just spend money redundantly is to buy equipment that is multifaceted and can be used for different things. And for the first couple of years, we used our full spectrum GoPro, an extra one, as a digital camera, and it took some of the best paranormal photos we ever captured. And then we went and said, "Oh, let's get a real one." And it wasn't as good as the one that was a third of the price. So we got burned there. Please don't get burned. So when it comes to digital photography and full spectrum photography, be careful, because it's easy to overpay for the same results that you would get with something less expensive. Another kind of camera that we have used and a lot of paranormal investigators use are Polaroid cameras. Now, if you're going for an actual Polaroid, like the old 70s Polaroid with that film, that can get a little costly. And I know that they've come out and it's kind of made a comeback. Polaroid photos have made a comeback, and maybe now it's a little less expensive than when I was really looking into it. But there are inexpensive ways to do Polaroids. And honestly, if you go to Amazon, you can actually get a fairly inexpensive Polaroid style camera. The pictures are a little smaller, but from a quality perspective, I don't see much of a drop off. The only drawback with with Polaroid pictures, too many para words, with Polaroid pictures is that you have to get like a magnifying glass and actually look at it, and you still take the burst photos, and you also are paying for film. So it's an expense that is a constant expense. But I have seen groups that have gotten some really great paranormal evidence on Polaroid cameras. We never have. I've probably taken 1,000 Polaroid pictures in my investigator life so far, and have never caught anything even remotely interesting on it. But doesn't mean you stop doing it. I mean, everything you do as a paranormal investigator works like 1% of the time. So you got to try everything every time, because today might be your lucky day. But when it comes to those photos Absolutely. Be careful, and you do not have to spend a fortune. More expensive is not necessarily better. And of course, with all these video cameras we're talking about, if we're investigating at night, they may see an infrared in full spectrum, but they still need light to do so. And the kind of light they need is infrared night vision light. And this one is very easy to overpay for. The ones I use on our stationary cameras are from Amazon.com. They're like $20 and each. And I've been using the same ones that I have been using since day one. I have not had to retire one of them yet. And they have been very good. Now you have to plug them into something. And we used to use power. We used to plug in all the time, but we don't anymore because we started going places that didn't have electricity. So I use battery packs on our camera rigs so that you can just plug that in and it gives it constant power. And I test it all. And the ones that I use have actually, they last about 8 hours on a battery, which is that's actually longer than the memory card and the camera is going to record for. So you are going to go back and switch that card. And at that point, you can also switch that battery if you need to. So IR lights can be very expensive. They don't have to be. You don't have to break the bank on those. The one thing that I will advise you on is they sell a lot of rechargeable ones. And those are mainly the ones that you would put on like a handheld camera rig that you'd carry around with you. So you can't have a bunch of battery packs on you a lot of the time. I don't like those. And the reason I don't like them is I have found that they fade. So, you know, hour one, it looks like it would with a normal IR light. But hour two, it's darker. Hour three, it's darker. And it's kind of hard to tell in the moment because a lot of these cameras have their own IR light. That's just there for the extra light. And I don't like having to recharge stuff. They do sell IR lights that mount to cameras that are battery powered. They are a little more expensive. They run about $60 each. But I will tell you, I think they're worth it, even with the cost of batteries. The cost of batteries over the frustration of having to recharge things all the time, I'll take the batteries any day of the week. So as far as light is concerned, other than the ones I just talked about that are battery powered, I've never bought an IR light off of a ghost off of a paranormal equipment company or on eBay. Everything I've bought for light, with the exception of those, has come off of something like Amazon.com, which means it's going to be way less expensive. It may have been built for something else, but it doesn't mean we can't use it to investigate the paranormal. So we've talked about cameras. We've talked about video. What about audio? Audio is very important. Most paranormal evidence is audio, and you have to have good audio equipment in order to pick up a lot of these things. It used to be that you had to have a high quality digital recorder, and we've had one. It's the digital recorder that we use mainly was the first one we ever had for the first experience we ever had, which I talked about in the first episode of the podcast, fittingly. We've always used Olympus brand digital recorders. I wish I was paid for the plug, but I'm not. And they work great. They work really great. I like them because there's a button on the back. You open it and the USB pops out. You plug it right into the computer for when it's time to review, and you can actually review on the spot. However, the evolution and the march of technology, which we talked about a lot in last week's episode, digital recorders are just as good as the one on your phone now. And when we do events, we tell people, look, use your phone. If I'm in an area that I think there might be some activity and I don't have my, 20 cases of equipment with me, I'll pull out my phone and do a quick EVP session. I did that at Grapevine Farms, a place that we investigate a lot. We were up there. My wife wanted to do Christmas shopping. It had nothing to do with anything here. We just went to see our friends, Tim and Tracy, and shop. And I'm sitting in David's room and I felt something a little weird. Emily said to me, she goes, this room feels a little heavy today. And I'm like, yeah. So I just sat there with my phone, did a couple EVP sessions and caught an EVP while I was there. And because these digital recorders can be expensive. Some of the good ones are, $70, $80, $100. You already paid enough for your phone. Get the voice memo app on the phone and use that. Honestly, I don't see a huge difference in quality at all. I mean, I don't have the best ear. Maybe somebody out there who's much more well-trained can hear the difference. I can't. And for me, if I can't hear the difference and I've gotten no difference when analyzing evidence, I'm not going to spend the money on something I already have in my pocket. And honestly, I don't think you should either. But there are some purpose-built paranormal communication tools that are worth the bang for the buck. And I believe the Spirit Box is probably the best money you can spend for a piece of paranormal equipment. And we've had a bunch of... The Spirit Box is the thing that annoys everybody in the room, but it's also something where we get an amazing amount of evidence. It is the device that scans radio stations very quickly to create white noise. It's the thing, when I'm at events, I always go, it's the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch thing. It's the thing that makes the noise and gives that white noise so spirits can speak. There's SB7, which is one of, I don't know if that's the original, but it's the one that's the most common. And those are under $100 right now because there is an SB11, which we use now. It's multiple channel. It's supposed to cut down on the noise reduction. It has some temperature stuff on it. I like the SB11 better because the speaker's good. The SB7 speaker is not very good. You almost have to buy an external speaker for it. Again, do that on Amazon. Don't buy it from the paranormal site. It'll be cheaper. But I will tell you that is a must-have. We've had everybody who's investigated with us, Tim, Tracy, Rhea, Margo, Dave, Linda, all of them. They all hated it first. And then you get an amazing piece of evidence through it. And you're like, yeah, I think we have to use that. And, I mean, go check out our videos on our Facebook page and YouTube channel, and you'll see. I think the one that I would watch is Wayside Irish Pub. And on the video versions of this, I'll actually put a link to that one because that's some of the best Spirit Box evidence we've ever captured. And it was powerful stuff and a little creepy, especially when something sings to you, I can see you through it. That's a little creepy. But again, amazing paranormal evidence. So Spirit Box, can't recommend it enough. There is only... Like that, the only one I've really liked and used is the SB7, SB11, the ones you see on all the shows, the ones that are on sale on all the websites. I think even Amazon sells them, to be honest. It probably comes through one of those companies to that. But if you're starting out, if you want to be an investigator, that's something to absolutely purchase. It's worth the money. Another piece of communication equipment that we use is called the Phasma Box. And we use this at events a lot, but we also use it, and if you watch any of our videos, you'll see it. There's a lot of equipment like it. And what it does it allows spirits to manipulate chopped up sound bars and turn them into words and messages and things. And there's a lot of reverb, but it's real time, like the Spirit Box is. And we have gotten a lot of relevant evidence from that over the years, and it has really been a great tool. And it's an inexpensive thing, sort of. The program itself, which comes from a company called Extreme Senses, they sell it off their website. Again, not paid for the plug. Would love to be, but not paid for the plug. And you can download it there. It's under $30. Here's the thing. The only way to run it is on something that's Windows-based. So you can't run it on your iPad. You can't run it on your Samsung tablet. You can't run it on your phone unless your tablet is Windows. So, we've had to buy tablets to use this. So it takes something that's $30 and makes it around $200 because you have to buy a tablet to use with it. You can use it with a computer. It's just tough to lug that around. A tablet is much more convenient. But the Phasma Box has given us so many good pieces of evidence over the years. And while it's probably the least expensive thing app-wise you can get, and I'll talk a little bit about apps later, but this one is the one that has worked best for us over the years. Highly recommend it. Something else there's a wide variety of are EMF detectors. Oh my goodness. Paranormal energy electromagnetic field detectors that are hand in hand. I mean, all theories and the evidence that we have gotten over the years comes to show paranormal activity, electromagnetic energy is connected. And there are so many, and they vary in price from, you know, $5 on up. I wouldn't buy the $5 one, but it varies. The classic one is the K2 meter. That's the one that we use and that most things you see on television or YouTube use. It has the lights on it, and basically the severity or the color of the light means a certain amount of electromagnetic field energy that it's detecting. The ones with the lights are fun because not only can they help you detect, but you can also use them as a communication tool. You know, once for yes, two for no, or true and false, or something to that effect. And they work very, very well. But you be careful with the cheap ones because, again, you do get what you pay for, especially with stuff like this. And you do this is something else you don't have to buy from a paranormal store. Go to Amazon. They sell them there. And it's a K2, and those are the ones I like, or K2-ish ones. I've tried a ton of them. Some of them are way too sensitive, and some of them aren't sensitive enough. Usually the inexpensive ones are one or the other. And you could buy two of the same exact one that's $10, and one will be sensitive and one will be numb. That's why you do have to spend a little bit of money. But the best tools for EMF are definitely more expensive, but you get a lot of bang for your buck, and they do multiple things. The Mel meter is probably the most famous. Gary Gulka's invention. The one you see on every TV show. It's got the antenna. It has the milligauss number on the top. It also tells you temperature. There are Mel meters that actually that have REM pods built in. We actually use one that has a REM pod built in. And also with temperature settings, like an alarm if it goes too high, too low. I mean, Mel meters are as low. I've seen them as low as $100, and that's without the REM pod or anything. But for something that's going to tell you environment and temperature, EM and temperature and all that, that's not bad. My favorite electromagnetic detection device is the EDI meter because it does everything. It does electromagnetic energy. It does temperature. It does vibration. It gives you readouts in EMF and temperature to the 10th, not just like a red means 5, green means 4. You know, it actually gives you numbers of temperature. It gives you tenths in degrees as well. It is my favorite piece of equipment. It's also very expensive. They run about $220, but for everything it does, I wish I had more of them, even though that's a pretty steep price tag. It's one of the best purchases we ever made, and it's expensive, but it is an amazing tool and a very accurate tool in investigation. And sort of the original version of those things is also a tri-field meter. I missed the ones with the meter where it was actually the physical stick that told you what the readings were. Now it's digital like everything else, but it has an alarm on it if it's a big jump in anything. And plus the fact that it's digital also allows it to be backlit so you can actually see it in the dark, which I think can be a problem with some of that older stuff. But those are about $200 as well. And yes, they're expensive. Those three things are expensive to use, but they are definitely worth it in terms of the kind of, you know, evidence you're looking for and the kind of exact readings that you're trying to get. You want to be as precise as possible so that you can determine what exactly is causing this energy. And with these EMF detectors, it is one of those things where the more expensive they are, usually the better they are. But there are also standalone EM detectors. REM pods are probably the most common that come to mind. And they have the antenna that sticks up. They have the lights. They beep when temperature changes. They beep when something comes into the field. They're really expensive. And I took the plunge once, and it really didn't do a whole lot. And I decided I would rather spend my $200 doing something else or using with another piece of equipment. There are groups that have a lot of success with them. So, you know, your experience may vary. There's also a lot of trigger object EM stuff. I think, you know, the Boo Buddy is something that's common. The teddy bear with the built-in EM detector in it. You know what? That thing's about $300. Frankly, I'll stick with a teddy bear with a K2 meter sitting in front of it. That's way less expensive. And from my experience, you get the same result. You know, the light being inside of it, a light being outside of it, doesn't, in my experience, affect whether or not a spirit of a child's going to reach out for that. And you'll detect that either way. They're cool. They're really awesome tools. They're just really expensive. And, you know, if I've gotten results on something by not paying over $300 for it, that's where I tend to go with that. So, you know, REM pods, there are inexpensive versions of those. We've bought some of those and they work fine. Any of these things, you don't have to get the most expensive. You can actually go online to non-paranormal sites and get things that will act the same as a REM pod in terms of detecting electromagnetic energy and beeping or sounding an alarm when it detects it. And it's kind of the same thing with thermal imaging. Depending on what you want to do with thermal imaging, because the hot and cold spots are very captivating and compelling evidence. And when we do get a thermal piece of evidence, it's always amazing. It's few and far between, but when we do, it's always great. Now, how much you're going to pay for that depends on whether you want to shoot video of thermal or you just want pictures of thermal. Because they sell different kinds of video thermal equipment. One of the ones I see the most is the one that attaches to your cell phone or your tablet and turns your tablet and cell phone into the screen for the thermal camera that's built into the attachment. It's called, the one I use is called FLIR. There are other brands. Again, $300, very expensive. There are handheld thermal cameras, one that we tend to use. I actually think it's designed more for like car repair and for contractors than it is for paranormal investigation. But of course we find a way to use everything for paranormal investigation if it suits our purpose. I like that one better. It's handier. There's a trigger on it. You don't have to like have a thing you can put it in your pocket. It's not like you have to have a tripod in your hand and you have to have it connected and all of that. And plus it also shoots in a higher resolution than the FLIR does. But if you're just looking for photos, they make thermal cameras now where you can, they're low res, but they're still, they work fine enough where you can just snap a picture. I just recently purchased a couple of attachments for our handheld camera rigs and that we've just started using, and they're about $100 each. And so far I'm very happy with the purchase. It's not the clearest thermal image in the world, but again, it's for what we are using it for, which is just, hey, let's get a picture of that spot because it looks like there's something there. There are many different ways that you can use thermal imaging, and you're going to pay at least $100 for something good. But at the same time, when you do get something with thermal, it just always looks great. I love thermal paranormal evidence. It's always awesome for me. And of course, with temperature, there are things that tell temperature, that tell cold spots. You know, the EDI meter I talked about, the MEL meter, that does temperature. There are a lot of people who have those temperature guns, you know, how you shoot the laser. I don't really find those useful because I'm more interested in the temperature around me, not necessarily the temperature across the room. But there are investigators who make good use of those. So there are many different ways and to get thermal information. As far as the type of tools that we use for that, they're probably more expensive than your average paranormal tools. So I wouldn't invest in thermal stuff until you're absolutely sure that this is something you want to do and something that you want to invest a lot of money and time into. And of course, there's all kinds of sound and motion detectors that you don't need to buy from the paranormal sites. You can get them on Amazon. We use things like motion sensors for doors that people use as security systems, you know, when they don't have a whole system installed. We use cat toys, those little balls that light up and move around when they sense vibration. We use those. And a lot of things that are designed for security. We use. I know people who use ring cams to to catch paranormal. I get a lot of ring cam footage actually emailed to me about things people have caught outside on a ring cam. I don't recommend that because the resolution is not very good. It shoots in a much lower res than a traditional, so it's very hard to analyze that evidence. But again, a lot of things that people have done that weren't meant for paranormal, but we found a way to use it. And what's the strangest thing you've ever seen on one of the shows used for paranormal investigation? I'd be very interested to hear that in the comments or in the review. And the last thing I want to say about the equipment is it's easy to waste your money and it's easy to spend a lot of money on some of these things. And when you're as into it as I am, man, you get excited about it. You want to spend the money and you get it. And sometimes you're like, oh, this thing was worth every penny. And other times you go, oh, geez, this thing, it ain't gonna work very well. So I do have a couple of things that are of the more expensive stuff that I do want to talk about briefly. One of them is called the GS2 Laser Grid. And it's a laser grid. You might have seen it on a TV show, but the usual laser lights that we use to investigate, you know, see if anything passes in. Well, this actually has a detector in it that detects shape and temperature within the field of that laser. So if it's cold, it'll show it to you in blue. If it's hot, it'll show it to you in red. And it also takes very precise measurements of the atmosphere within that grid. It's great if it works. The problem with that piece of equipment is it's finicky. It works kind of when it wants to. And I've talked to other investigators who have this, and they say the same thing. It's great, but you can't really leave it alone. The problem is it's not designed for you to carry it around because it has to get a base reading in order for it to decide what's hot and what's cold for that area. So if you're in a 60-degree room, 65, it measures 65 is hot, 55 is cold. That's just easy math. But if you're carrying it around and temperature varies, it never sets the base, and therefore, it doesn't work. So you can't leave it alone because it's finicky and is prone to malfunction, and you can't carry it around with you because it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. In other words, I could have probably spent that $300 a little better. We've gotten some evidence on it over the years, but not nearly. I really had high hopes for using that thing. Again, you know, you got to be careful when you watch the TV shows. You see something, you go, oh, that's cool. I want to get that. Then you get it. And no. Very similarly, the paranormal puck, which some shows use a lot. And we have one and we bought it. I was very excited about it. You need a tablet or a phone to use that too. What they don't show you on television are all the answers that mean nothing that you get. I mean, you almost get an answer to every single question with that thing. And they edit it on TV to show you the relevant ones. Well, that's great for them. It doesn't help me if it just throws. If you type in a question, it throws 20 random words back to you. You can't just pick the one that works for what you're talking about. And it's supposed to be an atmospheric sensor, too. It's just convoluted, it's complicated, and it's way too sensitive. And it just gives you way too many answers that mean nothing, which means that you can't take seriously the answers it gives you that mean something. So we barely use it. And I think when I think of the $400 and how we could have used it instead of something that sits in my equipment cases and collects dust, that is one. That's actually the one piece of equipment we bought that we don't even try to use anymore because it just does not. Every once in a while I'll break it out and see, but it never ceases to be the same thing. The laser grid and the paranormal puck, two purchases I do regret because they don't do what I was hoping they would do. But there are two expensive purchases I do not regret. The first is the Ovilus device. The Ovilus is a phonetic generator, so it throws out a dictionary of words into the electromagnetic field. Spirits can select from them, and the words show up on a screen. A lot of people use an Ovilus. We use it all the time, and it has lived up. I was worried that one wouldn't. It has lived up. It is the most expensive piece of equipment, individual piece of equipment we have. Ovilus runs over $600. We're very careful with it. But at the same time, it has definitely given us some great evidence over the years. And most of the words it throws back, it's not like the puck where it's just like boom, 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 boom. No, you get a word every once in a while. We have learned, though, that you have to be careful how you hold it, because if you hold it a certain way, it will say more words because it's kind of using your energy, so you'll get some false positives. They don't show that on TV. But now most of the time with the ovulus, we just set it on something and then let it, you know. But the ovulus also will do true and false. It'll do yes or no. It has an imaging thing that will actually like sort of draw in it. We don't use that a lot, but all of those things that it does, I'm very happy with that one. It's an expense. And again, unless you're going to publish your evidence, you probably don't need that. You know, it's a toy. It's a luxury for us to have it. Like, okay, we have everything else. Let's get this thing. It was a bucket list item, and Emily and I love it. We love using it. And of course, the really expensive one that we have, and actually, it's funny. This is the big one that a lot of groups have, is the structured light sensor camera, the stick figure camera, the one that it uses the Microsoft Kinect technology, laser grid, senses stuff, draws a stick figure if there's something of enough structure. If you want to see an amazing example of that, you can check out our investigation of the Gans house, which is the last investigation we've published. There are more coming. But that one was amazing. And those can run all kinds of different prices. 400 and up is about right for the reputable ones. And there's a lot of little like acute equipment, I call it, where it's like, this is, you know, meant to look like a wristband, but it's an EVP recorder. You know what? Straightforward. Like, you just don't pay for cute, pay for function and pay for stuff that's actually going to work. So all the stuff I've talked about, you know, I've talked about how some of it you can get off of, you know, Amazon or Walmart or any of these other places. But there are websites that are dedicated. And I usually buy a lot of my, like, video cameras from them because I don't know how to do all that. From a tech standpoint, I'm not that smart. But GhostStop.com, Ghost St. Augustine, unpaid plugs, but I've never been disappointed with anything I've gotten from them. And that's where a lot of our tech equipment comes from. But buyer beware, because, you know, so you do get what you pay for. I have gone through eBay to buy some equipment. And I'll tell you, sometimes it's amazing. Sometimes you run into somebody who, you know, has experience with this, and they also have an engineering background. I bought my SLS camera from a group in Massachusetts that it manufactures them to help pay for this whole thing that they do. And it's great. And they were great. And it was a really good transaction. But I've had several instances where transaction done, never heard from them, never got anything, was unable to recover my money. Also be careful buying overseas. There's a lot of paranormal companies in England because there's 8 million paranormal groups over there. Because if you think about how long they've been around, there's probably 8 million haunted places over there. And the first order was minor, came in okay. I mean, the stuff, you know, it worked well enough. But then I said, you know what, let me buy my first shot at buying an SLS camera from them. And they never honored the delivery. They never honored any of it. They don't respond to me when I write them, and I never got a refund. So I've actually bought two SLS cameras because I made a poor decision on where I was buying the first one. So buyer beware on that. There are inexpensive ways to do this. There are a lot of phone apps out there that, you know, that claim to do a lot of the stuff the expensive apps do. Be careful with those. I don't count anything that I get on one of those kind of things on a phone as credible evidence. There's an SLS camera on the phone, which doesn't make any sense to me because that's a completely separate piece of equipment. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I've seen people use it. It seems suspect to me. There's a lot of Phasmabox-like stuff. Just be careful. You know, and that's what you just got to do. And we've learned the hard way. Like, I'm now really well informed when I make a decision because of how many mistakes that we've made, that I have made. So the whole purpose of today's episode is so you don't make that mistake if you choose to or are looking to getting into being an investigator. Honestly, the best way to do it is to go to paranormal ghost hunt events. You know, buy a ticket. They're all over the place. Go there. Hopefully it'll be with a group that lets you use their equipment. And then when you do that, you can see what you like. You can see what you don't like. You can see what works. You can see what's functional. And then from there, you can make a really, really informed decision on what it is that you want and what will fit how you want to investigate and how you want to move forward and what equipment you find the most intriguing and the most fun. Because let's face it, yes, we're doing this for serious reasons, and we take what we do very seriously, despite not taking ourselves too seriously. But using this equipment is not only supposed to give you good evidence, it's supposed to be fun. And hopefully you've gotten some tidbits of advice out of this episode that you'll use that will hopefully allow you to make better purchases than I have over the years. So there you go. You know, if you choose to start investigating the paranormal, or you've been investigating for a while and looking for some new equipment, I hope our overview of what has worked well for us, or it hasn't worked well for us, will help you see what you may want to purchase and what may or may not be worth the money. But I'm telling you, the last 40 minutes or so that we've been talking about it, heed my words. Because overspending on paranormal technology should not be normal. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the Paranormal Podcast.